If you're in your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll use that kind of as our springboard tonight as we get into the Lord's Supper. And normally on this night, services are kind of short, not for any other reason but to really concentrate on the broken body and the blood of Christ. So at the end of the service, there'll be no announcements. So if you want to remember to sign up for the golf tournament, you might remember now. All right, so... But at the end of the service, we'll sing a song and be dismissed. Appreciate, again, all the efforts and work for this morning. And, again, what a blessing to see the crowd that was here. The Lord is good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Very familiar passage with the most all of you. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," notice the wording there, "for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I'll just read verse 3 just because it's so good. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame." Let's pray. We thank You tonight, Lord, for Your love. And we thank You for, again, God giving Your Son for us. We thank that Your Son came and died for us, shed His blood for us, and He counted it a joy to do so. I praise You and thank You for the evening, for the service tonight. Help us as we remember the cross, the body, and the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord's Supper, of course, is a memorial. It's a set symbolic ordinance that we as a church do in remembrance of the Lord's death and the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary. Again, we should remember when we partake of the Lord's Supper that a price was paid for our sins, and that that payment was the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The purpose of the Lord's Supper, and then let's go ahead and go on over to 2 Corinthians, where we always turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, the purpose, the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 26, the Bible says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." So the purpose is to show the Lord's death, to show the Lord's death till He comes. And it's an act of remembrance. It's remembering what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Remembering Christ's death, again referring to the broken body of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. He died for us, gave His life for us." And as we said this morning, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ gave His life. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's what I do want you to turn to. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Talking about the body of Christ, the broken body of Christ. John chapter 6, look with me in verse 35. We'll scoot back here a little bit. Look at verse 25. "And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, whence comest Thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth everlasting life, unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." Verse 28. "Then said they unto Him, What shall we do? What that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe on Him that has sent Me. They said therefore unto Him, What signs showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it's written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And here's what I want you to see now. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. As we think about the picture, if you would, in that illustration or picture in the Old Testament, the bread, the manna that God gave the children of Israel there in the wilderness, that they got up in the morning, it was just laying on the ground. And they would go out and they would pick it up, and as the sun came out, as the sun got hot, it would just melt away. It would be gone. And God sustained the children of Israel for 40 years on little morsels of bread. And so they asked Jesus, give us a sign. You know, God gave them a sign in the wilderness. Why don't you give us a sign? And He said, I am that bread of life. And they said, well, what a picture. The bread picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about that bread that was not only the bread from heaven, but the bread that was broken. So the Bible talks about Jesus and the broken bread. The priests, again, the broken bread. Many, many different pictures. But He was the broken bread. He gave His life for us. His body was bruised for us, for our iniquities, for our sins. He gave His life for us. Secondly, we think about the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is probably the one we talk about the most. It seems to come up the most. In 1 John 1:7, it says, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the blood, there is no remission. There is some popularity today going around that the blood and the death of Christ were synonymous, that they were the one and the same. But can I tell you that they were separate? The death was necessary, and so was the blood. Had He died and not shed His blood, there would be no remission of sin. And had He shed His blood but not died, there would be no remission of sin. They are not one and the same. They're separate. You need both. And He gave His life, He shed His blood for us. And Hebrews chapter 12 just says, hey, remember that. Remember what He did for us. Remember that He endured that cross. And when you're going through a tough time, verse 3 says, and when you're facing trials and difficulties in your life, whatever you're facing is not near what Christ faced. Right? And so, you know, everything in perspective. I mean, Morgan puts things in perspective. Right? And Christ puts things in perspective. And so we must remember that His body was broken for us. That His body was bruised for us. He was beaten for us. And this morning, just a very little part of what He went through for us. Shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. As we think about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we think about it not only as the purpose to show the Lord's death till He come, but it is an act of obedience. This do in remembrance of Me. It's a command. And therefore the church from time to time, there is nowhere in the Scripture where it says you have to do it a set time. I know the church I grew up in did it every fifth Sunday, when there was a fifth Sunday. Some preachers like me, I like to do them around Christmas, not on it necessarily, but around Easter in these areas, and usually try to do it one more time or two. There is no set date. There's no set time to do that in the Scriptures. I don't like it to be every Sunday. I think it becomes a ritual if you do it that way. And so this is a time in which we can set aside and say, here's what Christ did for us. Here's the body that He was broken for us, the blood that He shed. But it is a command. So the church is commanded to do it, just like the church is commanded to baptize. These are the two ordinances of the church. By the way, they're the ordinances of the church. The church is. You can't, you know, go home and baptize your kid in the, you know, in the bathtub. The church was given that ordinance. You can't take it upon yourself, and I know this happens a lot, but you can't take it upon yourself to go down, you know, to the assisted living places or these other places, or go into a sick person's home and give them the Lord's Supper. It's the church's, it's the ordinance of the church, not an ordinance of the individual. It's the authority of the church. And I use the word churches because the Bible makes that clear. I believe there's only a local church. And the Bible teaches that. There's no universal invisible church. There's no universal church at all. It's the individual churches that God has given that authority to baptize. And when we baptize, of course, the church has that authority. Now, we can vote and say, you know, we're going to give Brother Wiggins the authority to baptize, which he has that already. He could baptize in this baptistry. And there's a few other men here that could do that. But the church gives them that right to do that. And so the same thing with the Lord's Supper tonight. This is a command for the church. And so this do in remembrance of me. Number two, it's an act of remembrance. As we've already said, it's remembering the death and the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us. And that, again, we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. And it's also an act of testimony. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. And it is a testimony, signifying to the world of what we believe and remembering what our Savior did for us. And lastly, it's an act of examination. Look with me in verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took of the cup, which when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So now we're back to the act of examination. Wherefore, in light of what's just been said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's pretty serious. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now that's not talking about a nap. That's what I had this afternoon. It's talking about dead. And so we must remember this is a serious, serious memorial. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. He said, listen, if you're going to just have a feast, do that at the house. That's not what the Lord's Supper is about. When you come together to eat, it's not a time for eating and drinking and so forth. It's a time to remember the death of Christ, to remember the blood of Christ. And he said, when you come together for the Lord's Supper, you better examine yourself. And when you take the Lord's Supper tonight, I honestly believe that your heart needs to be in tune with God, that your heart needs to be right with the Lord, that when you partake of that cup, that if you do so and you know that you're not right with God, I mean, you know you're out of fellowship with him. You know things aren't right. That you are placing yourself on some shaky ground. I don't think the Lord necessarily is going to strike you down the lightning bolt, but he has the authority to. And he has the right to. He's warned you. Amen? He's God. He can do what he wants to. And so what he's just saying here is just be careful. I mean, the church at Corinth was a carnal church. It had gotten out of hand. It had become a drunken feast. And Paul's simply saying here, listen, there are some sick among you because you've turned this into a drunken feast. There are some dead among you because they have taken the Lord's Supper lightly. And so tonight as we take the Lord's Supper, let's remember again what it's there for. And remember the memorial that it is. And make sure that our hearts are in tune with the Lord. Just can't imagine how serious the Lord intended for this to be. And one of the last acts before he went to the cross was the breaking of the bread and drinking the cup with his disciples, reminding them. Can't you imagine after his death, them remembering this, Paul bringing this up? How would you like to have been at that first Lord's Supper? Well, we get to participate tonight. Amen. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. Give you an opportunity to come and to pray. And we're going to sing hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And against an act of examination, a time for you to come and just be sure that you are in right fellowship with the Lord. He said, "Preacher, if I come down right now, that means everybody's going to know I'm not right with the Lord." Well, all of us can use prayer. And so he's without sin, let him cast the first stone, right? And so let us all examine ourselves. Hymn 155, after we pray. God, we do thank you again, as we've already stated. Lord, we love you. We appreciate what you've done for us. And help us as we examine our hearts tonight. And Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, Lord, touch your heart, you come.
Have thy own way.
Appreciate our men, appreciate our deacons and ushers. They do a fantastic job. For the feast, would you pray over the bread?
Heavenly Father, God, we come to you today. We thank you for your Son, who is the symbol of the bread of life that we have to partake of. Lord God, we pray, Lord, as we think of the bruising and breaking of his body for our sins, that in the symbolism of it, that we just take that to our hearts today. Remember that as you've commanded us to. Lord God, we just want to ask that you bless this.
Amen. Okay, go ahead. Maybe a little more difficult in this building. The Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After we pray, okay? Lord, we thank you tonight again for your body that was broken for us. We praise you and thank you for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary. Help us to remember that, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Brother Joyce, we pray over the juice, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here to remember, Lord, your shed blood for us. We ask you to keep it in our hearts, Lord, that we remember the solemnness of this occasion, Lord, that we remember this great sacrifice that you've given to us. Lord, watch over us, be with us, and watch, be in our hearts, Lord. In your Son's holy and precious name, Christ, we pray.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again just asking that you would, Lord, just help us again to bring in remembrance the blood that was shed for us on Calvary, that what has taken place tonight already, that we would recall this throughout the week, remembering the body and the blood that you shed for us. We pray tonight and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink in remembrance of me." As Mr. Bird had come forward, let's sing a song, and let's all stand. And just want to encourage, thank you, men, very much. You can go back to your seats. And little different in this big a building, and we'll continue to work on it. Appreciate our men very much. Remembering the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed. And let's sing Amazing Grace. We've already sang it once. Let's sing it again, and we'll be dismissed, okay? Amen.